Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Mind the noise, it's hot as fuck in here, so we have the AC, but it shouldn't deter you from hearing me. I actually listened to the audio myself, I could hear my voice, so I know you can, and you should be able to hear DP as well. That's why I paid $100 for this mic, it should work.
It's a literal sweatshop up in here.
Oh, Jesus, not that bad. You won't hear this with being a dick, though. All the hentai and stuff like that, we're gonna turn the AC off. But he just wants to cool the room a little because it's fucking killing him.
Yeah.
Okay, the first thing we have to report is something that happened before we even get started. Alright, first we gotta talk about our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Make sure you go pick up one of those if you haven't already. And also, you've got the Follow Me Eyes and several other things. He talked about a thicker lube and a bunch of other things that he's made. A sort of doll shoes that are coming out that you might be interested in. There's all kinds of things going on, so go ahead and check that out. And stay tuned for our interview with Revy, which if it hasn't been posted now, it'll be posted pretty soon. So just be on the lookout for that. And we'll have, more to come for that.
It'll be a series.
Yeah, it's going to be a series. So stay tuned for that. Also, we want to talk about Zoom platform. They're not really affiliated with me, but I've been bringing games their way, adult games. I talked to the guy that does Shady Lewd Cart. You might remember us playing that. He said he wants to bring it over, and Marble Maid, which is on the Switch right now. So check that one out if you like lewd games. And there is a, well, I was going to say the Neko Neon thing. Neko Neon brought some games over to GOG, and they're mosaic, but they have good stories. Riddle Joker, a couple games like that. So if you're interested in those... GOG's got them really cheap. I bought Sabbath of the Witch for $15 with the unrated DLC. And that's a 60-hour game. Remember, these are the people that brought you Dracu Riot. This is Yuzusoft. So definitely go check them out. Their soundtracks are god-tier. Stories are usually pretty good. So give it a try. A bunch of games on GOG. Well, they have mosaics, but they have the nudity. So, you know, there you go. Or the sex, whatever you guys want to call it. Erogay. So, yeah, now let's talk about the story. So, basically, there was a friend of mine in the heavy metal scene who decided to post a meme. This is not a meme he made. This is just a meme he found on the internet everywhere else. And the meme is something we pretty much find funny here in the manosphere. Even people that are trans would probably consider it maybe a little funny. But, basically, the meme said... It was made in jest, but basically the meme, it showed a picture of Wonder Woman, and then it showed a picture of that swimmer. That was like a trans swimmer. Remember that one? So basically, so basically it said, our generation grew up with Wonder Woman, and your generation grew up with Wonder if it's a woman. Now, I mean, it's a little funny, edgy joke. Unfortunately, it was taken very, very bad by hundreds of people.
Who aren't trans.
I looked in the comments and I was like, is there anybody that's trans that says they're actually offended? No. But there were a lot of people offended on behalf of the trans community who are not trans. And, I don't know. I mean, there were some gay, I think it was some lesbian gay people like that were upset. But nobody that was actually trans. They were saying some bad stuff about cis people. But that was all I saw.
Lesbians know how to read a good
time. Right. But anyway, this guy got grilled. They pretty much canceled him. And this dude has been known to post like edgy stuff before. I mean, he posts like edgy game stuff and... And basically, a lot of heavy metal labels and musicians were just... I mean, this is heavy metal. This is really surprising. I could understand it was like pop or something that was, you know, commercially relevant where they're talking about more progressive stuff. But no, this is heavy metal. And they're like, oh no, this is horrible. You've got to apologize right now. So he goes ahead and he posts a response and he says, no, I'm not going to apologize for my view here, for my beliefs, or what I think is funny. And they said, oh, yeah, you're going to take the moral high horse when hundreds of people have already deleted you. And I'm like, damn, so that's how it goes? Hundreds.
That's just a guessing game.
And then after that, a label guy that owns a French label basically said, it's like, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead and say this kind of stuff when you've already committed a human rights violation. And it's like, dude,
I don't know.
It's
I
a fucking meme.
Something gay.
It's a fucking meme, you know? And,
you can tell the difference anyway.
It's a fucking meme. And basically, you know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. He did it. He bent the knee. He wrote a post and he said, I'm sorry, I don't understand the trans experience. I should have been more, you know... He just did all this kind of stuff, and he said, and then it's like, oh, we're so glad that you did this. This is how you grow. This is an example of growing and becoming a better person, which sounds like fucking Chinese socialists, you know, that social credit system stuff. This is how you become a better person.
Is a lot of cases on the far left, if you say something defending, like, say, black community, or it'll be someone jumping up. Well, you don't have the right to even talk about the black community because you're white or something like that.
Yeah,
but
now they're
you bring up something that they can harass you and try to get you to bow down to them, whether which they aren't trans, they're responding usually. It's that's all they want is for you to bow down. They, you know, it's not going to save your career. Dave Chappelle never backed down from trans.
Yeah.
His career's going strong. And,
right. You know, I mean, he avoided somebody trying to kill him on stage, but...
Oh, yeah.
But
anyone that's bowed down, usually their career's about over at that point. Because
right.
Because they won't ever stop until they've completely ruined you.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... unfortunate that it's come down to this, to where people are just, they're pushing their values, like, oh yeah, you don't believe in our stuff, well, I mean, fuck you. And you know what happened? Okay, basically this got down to me and this other guy who plays in a band. I listen to his music, it's not very good, I'm just gonna be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, he does everything himself, so I have respect for that. The music's just not that great. And he put out like 4 or 5 records, so he's a musician that, I mean, I guess some people have heard. But anyway, he was getting into an argument with me about how, oh, well, we need to get rid of a lot of these antiquated beliefs. And I was talking about the First Amendment. Oh, the First Amendment only protects you from the government, It only protects you from the government. It doesn't protect you from what people say. People, it's like freedom of speech isn't freedom from of consequences. I was like, yep, they do that again. And I was like, no, that's the Second Amendment that protects you from the government. And of course, they didn't get the joke. Because, yeah. The First Amendment, sure, that's the government, it's free speech. But the second one is the right to bear arms, which you're going to need for any tyrannical government.
Yeah.
And I posted the quote from Thomas Jefferson that TFM had said quite a bit. That the tree of liberty often needs to be watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants. And of course they're like, yeah, but these... They said the you know what he said? He said the forefathers would have been more progressive today. And that... Yeah, he said the forefathers would have been... Or our forefathers, not the forefathers. But our forefathers would have been more progressive today. And he also said... that we need to get rid of these antiquated beliefs. And he's like, so you're okay with slavery? And I say, well, most cultures have some form of slavery. And I talked about Bangladesh and all that. It said women are raped and children are you know, abused and everything else in Bangladeshi factories. And he said, well, that's indentured servitude. Like, dude, what's the real difference at that point? It's like, sure, they're making a pittance, but they're doing something, they're being forced to do something they don't want to do, and they're being abused and raped because of it. And it's like, it's not as bad. Our country had racial slavery. And I was like, dude, I showed him an article where 180 black slave owners existed in South Carolina alone. He didn't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. And I told him, I said, look, first of all, white people need to stop speaking out for black folks and trying to say they understand, you know, what's going on. Because most of the black people that I have known and work with, they never talk to me about slavery. Not one time have I ever had a black person. I've worked with
They've
many.
Never been
that
a slave.
Never have said anything about, oh, well, you had... No, never.
Unless they came over from Africa recently, mm-hmm. or one of those areas,
and
they have never known true slavery.
And I even explained to the guy, and we're going to get to the articles in just 5 minutes, but I even explained to the guy, I said, look, even people in Africa do not like black American culture.
Oh,
they
yeah.
cannot stand it. And I said to him, I said, remember, their people, they sold black people. They sold them for
sold
fruits
them.
And things like that, for things of very low value to the colonists. And it's even like Drexel said, these colonists were not out there trying to hunt down and catch these great big, like he said, these big black bucks. These are big, athletic, strong men. There's no way these colonists were out there trying to get these guys. These are men that were born and bred in the jungle to fight lions and things like that. That's literally what they were bred to do. That's why we have such strong, we have, you know, they develop a high muscle mass. They're faster. They're very good at, you know, a lot of black, very athletic stuff like that, because they had to be. That's what they were developed for.
Well, you know, that a lot of that.
A lot of people don't understand that.
Slavery times in the U.S. that they pretty much
bred
like for genetics.
For
like
genetics
wood,
and stuff like that. Yeah, like stuff like that. Yeah.
Things like that.
And I mean, yeah, that's what it was. And, I mean, this is a part of history, and, I mean, we just have to deal with it. It's a dark part of history, but it still happened. And we don't need to go over and say, oh, it's such a horrible thing, we need to worry about it 20... No, not even.
Well, the
it's
thing
almost,
is,
it's hundreds of years.
A lot of
like.
This is democratic government trying to force. I feel like they're trying
it's
to force
progressive.
A race war.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, once Biden got in the office, it's white people hate black people. All white people
yeah,
white
yeah.
supremacists. Black people should hate white people for how evil they are. And I think it even goes into the Latina community.
Oh, yeah, it's others. It's others. They're just trying to start. Well, I mean, remember South Park? It said, you know, it started with a pandemic.
Yeah.
And then there was a race war. And then they made Space Jam 2.
I was right. I'll tell you, if anything was going to start a race war, Space Jam 2.
Oh, that did nothing. That movie did absolutely nothing when it came out. I didn't even watch it.
All my friends...
Did you watch it?
I watched it when we were at work because the HBO account was up there at the time. I did not... in my opinion, you know, and even when the Michael Jordan Space Jam came out, it didn't do great. But...
I thought it did pretty well, but I don't know.
Well, I've heard it didn't do just great to what they were hoping it would do.
Right.
But it did better than this one. And,
oh, yeah. And LeBron James blamed...
He's such an unlikable person.
Didn't he blame...
I think.
Yeah, I thought he did blame some kind of racism or something like that. And,
oh,
of course,
yeah.
Now we
well,
have that...
Well, there was that cop that shot the girl as she was trying to stab another black girl.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
And he said, you're next, and posted the cop but saved the other girl's picture all over the internet, which I think should have had some kind of charges put against him just for, you know, that could put a target on that cop's back just doing that.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's plenty of people that are... And basically, there's no context behind it neither. It's going to be his narrative, which he wasn't even there to experience it.
Right,
the
right.
video clearly shows he saved that one girl's life.
Right.
But, you know, that's a tough call anytime you got to decide who lives and who dies. But I would say it's the one trying to kill the other one that should be shot.
Okay, well, that being said, let's go on and get started with our articles. Okay, we got an article here from Archive, from Hoshioni here.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, Biden. We don't want to really hear that much from him, but we are going to turn that off.
Oh my goodness, is he?
Okay. First of all, let me make sure that... Let me make sure, because I had to cut a setting on my... Uh-oh, hold on. Why do I have all these windows and things open anyway? Okay, there we go. Alright. Okay, good. Gonna go into it. Just wanted to make sure everything was cool.
There's not an amendment for anyone's feelings, though. So...
No, no.
I think they should give up on the feelings argument.
Okay, well, this is from Biden. Biden says monkeypox not as concerning as COVID. U.S. President Joe Biden said Monday he doesn't believe an outbreak of monkeypox is as risky as the COVID pandemic, tempering comments he made a day earlier that people should be concerned. We have had this monkeypox in large numbers in the past. We have vaccines to take care of it. Oh, I'm sure you do, Biden said during a visit to Tokyo. I just don't think it rises to the level of the kind of concern that existed with COVID-19. Still, he said people should be careful. On Sunday, Biden had said everyone should be concerned about the spread of monkeypox. They hadn't told me the level of exposure yet, but it's something that everybody should be concerned about, he told CNN. We're working on it hard to figure out what we do and what vaccine, if any, might be available for it. It is a concern if that it were to spread would be consequential, that's all they told me. Okay, it said, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is currently tracking recent clusters of monkeypox infections and other possible cases in the U.S. On Friday, it was monitoring 6 people in the U.S. for possible monkeypox infections after they sat near an infected traveler who had symptoms while on a flight from Nigeria to the United Kingdom in early May. Separately, CDC officials are also investigating a case of monkeypox confirmed in a man in Massachusetts who had recently traveled to Canada. And in New York City, one patient has tested positive for Anthropox virus, the family of viruses to which monkeypox belongs, NYC health officials have reported. Initial symptoms of monkeypox are... What do you think they are?
Oh, probably pox, perhaps?
No. Guess what they are?
What,
typically flu-like.
Yeah.
Fever, chills, exhaustion, headache, and muscle weakness, followed by swelling in the lymph nodes. Which help the body fight infection and disease. Next comes a widespread rash on the face and body, including inside the mouth and palms of the hands and sores of the feet. The painful raised pores are pearly and fluid-filled, often surrounded by red circles. The lesions finally scab over and resolve over a period of 2 to 3 weeks. Close contact with infected individuals is required for the spread of the monkeypox virus, experts say. Infection can develop after exposure to broken skin, mucous membranes, respiratory droplets, infected body fluids, or even contact with contaminated linen. Wow, said Neil Mabbitt, personal chair in immunopathology. Well, you know, this sounds like something we've had for a long fucking time now. So why is it an issue, like,
all
in this
sudden,
second? Yeah.
Well, because...
They need a new thing.
They need something to take their mind off of what they're screwing up.
All right.
That, you think about it, anytime all of a sudden all these arbitrary things pop up that have nothing to do with how the government's being run, and the government's getting shittier every day, it's usually something to distract people from the real issues.
Yep. And it's that,
race wars, I think all of that's the same thing. They're trying to distract you from what's important.
CNN previously reported that CDC officials are evaluating whether a smallpox vaccine should be offered to healthcare workers treating monkeypox patients and other people who might be at high risk of exposure to the disease. The variola virus that carries smallpox and the monkeypox are related. They are both members of the orthopox virus genes belonging to the scientific family of pox viruses. Some of the vaccines administered to prevent smallpox have also been shown to prevent monkeypox. Well, there we go. TFM, what did you do?
Oh.
Let's see.
Have you said anything about that shooter at the grocery store?
I don't know. Hold on. I've got quite a lot to talk about here.
You said something since they said it was his plan had been spread on Discord before he did it.
Hold on. Oh my god, we've got so many articles. Alright, hold on. Wow, there is a lot. Yeah. I am going pretty far back here. Alright. Oh, wow. I just can't believe how much we have. Alright. Alright, okay, we talked about that one. We talked about the ultra thin. Oh, since we have a special guest here, and I wanted to talk about this, we're going to go ahead and talk about these glasses. These VR glasses that I talked about during the interview. Okay, this is from RoadToVR.com. Basically, it says, NVIDIA researchers demonstrate ultra-thin holographic VR glasses that could reach 120 field of view. Team of researchers from... Well, let me see. Are these the ones... Or are we talking about the... Hold on. Where's the ones that are the XR? Those are the ones I'm looking for. Hold on. I'm going to find that article real quick because it's not hard. I'm pretty sure I just have it saved here. So, let me go look that up, because that's the one, but that's not the right one. That's not the, XR Glasses Kickstarter. Alright. They're called okay, here we are. Digital Trends. I'm surprised I haven't actually read this one. Okay, this is from Digital Trends. These XR gaming glasses just raised more on Kickstarter than the Oculus Rift. When the original Oculus Rift landed on Kickstarter, it managed to raise over $2.3 million. $2.43 million, rather. But now there's a new name in town, at least when it comes to futuristic gaming. The Viture 1, that's V-I-T-U-R-E. Mixed reality XR glasses allow you to play games or watch movies from basically anywhere, and it just surpassed the Oculus Rift's astonishing original fundraising effort on Kickstarter. Viture, a San Francisco-based startup, was founded by Google and Apple veterans, and it's managed to raise over $2.4 million on Kickstarter in just a month and a half, greatly surpassing the original $20,000 funding goal. Just over 4,000 people are backing these new AR glasses. Oh, so these are augmented reality, just like I was talking about.
Yeah.
A far cry from the 9,522 that backed the original Oculus Rift. Why the difference? Well, the Oculus Kickstarter offered many small tiers of backing that started at just $15 and included just a poster. Viture's campaign starts at pledges at $429, which includes the product. So, 4,000 people with quite a bit of money. The Viture 1 itself was designed intentionally to look like a stylish pair of sunglasses. The thought is that it's supposed to be something people would want to wear daily, unlike a hefty virtual reality headset. Viture partnered with design firm Layer to help create the actual look of the glasses, which come in three options, black, blue, and white. The two lenses combine to form a 120-inch 1080p virtual screen. Viture says that the pixel density is equivalent to a Mac Retina display, 300 pixels to 400 pixels per each, and that the image quality surpasses any VR headset. The lenses also contain electrochromic film that adjusts depending on environment. That electrochromic film has two modes, immersive and ambient. Immersive allows the virtual screen to occupy most of your field of vision. Ambient mode minimizes the screen to the bottom corner to allow you to see the real world. Oh, so it's just like I was talking about, where they have, you can see the real world. For those nearsighted folks who already wear glasses, the Viture 1 actually includes a dial to adjust the prescription of the lenses up to 5.0. Wow. The glasses can be combined with a special neck band that powers the glasses and contains a control panel for the Android-based operating system. Viture touts the fact that the neck band weighs only 170 grams, which makes it lighter than the Bose Soundwire and Sony SRS and S7. Sound-wise, there are embedded directional speakers in the stems of the glasses to provide private audio. Viture says it has partnered with a prestigious speaker company to design the audio, though it didn't specify the name of the company. Outside of the hardware, The Witcher 1's greatest feat is being able to stream games and media from anywhere using Wi-Fi or cellular. Exactly what I was talking about. Console games can be streamed using remote play apps like PlayStation or the Xbox Cloud Gaming. The Witcher 1 includes support for both Xbox and PS controllers. PC games can also be streamed using apps like Steam Link, AMD Link, Rainway, Parsec, or even Shadow. Because it runs Android, popular streaming apps such as Apple TV, Disney Plus, and HBO Max come pre-installed. The company mentions that even 3D movies are supported. For Switch owners, there's a separate attachment that acts as both an HDMI dock and a battery pack. There's even a multiplayer mode that allows two pairs of Witcher 1 glasses to play on the same Switch using the two Joy-Cons. Finally, the Witcher 1 is compatible with any USB-C device with video output. This would include Android smartphones, USB-C iPads, Macs, laptops, and even the Steam Deck. The price starts at $429 for the early bird and includes the glasses only. You'll have to move up to $530 for the neckband. Those who want everything, including the dock, will have to shell out at least $630. Now that makes sense because this is still new tech, and new tech is priced quite high. But it, as it gets more, you know, popular, the price will come down like the Oculus did. Witcher says the headset will sell for a retail price of $550. Witcher plans on shipping the first units to backers in October. Obviously, while the idea and concept itself sound exciting, Kickstarter claims are just that. All the same suggested rules around crowdfunding apply here, so we have to see if the Witcher 1 lives up to those claims. Now, it certainly sounds fascinating, but I don't know that much about this sort of thing. So, yeah. I mean, but this is what I was talking about, basically. For those of you who heard our interview with Revy there.
Yeah.
It's certainly...
I mean, it's a cool concept.
Yeah, it's a very cool concept.
Is it four holograms or...
I mean, AR, augmented reality. So you could, you could do, you could do gaming on it. So you could bring your bring your Steam Deck with you. You can bring your phone with you. You can basically, and yes, if it plays a Steam game, then it can play. What was it? Countess and Crimson just came out. That is a game you could probably play with these glasses, and it's an adult game. So you can essentially have like Revy's SRP, and you could get going while you're banging these CGI girls. And this game, which I'm going to check out. There's a bunch of others. You can do it with Being a Dick. You can do it with City of Broken Dreamers. Anytime there's a scene. You can do it with Treasures of Nadia, which they actually made work with Teledildonics. So you just plug that in. Yeah, you have your little glasses. And please, God, don't do this in a workplace or in any area where I am. I do not want to see people getting off while I'm working, you know, just some guy getting at it. I mean, couldn't you be thrown out for? I don't think
they
that
hire
would be,
those kind of people. Hopefully,
well, not to hire, but I'm talking about customers, people in general, just walking around the public. God, what will the homeless do?
It's going to be sophisticated about those glasses.
Well, I'm talking about in the future. In the future, when the glasses come down.
Everyone's got their glasses on, nobody's really watching.
Oh, God, it's going to be insane. That
it's
could be a world.
Rush.
That could be our world.
Somebody could take their glasses off at any moment.
Somebody could take their glasses off. You know, it's actually a good distraction if you're into the whole conspiracy thing. They could just have everybody in these glasses and they don't know what the hell's going on around
them.
Who
killed that man?
I don't know. I had my glasses on.
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Well, that's almost the way it is
to
now
get away
from cell phones.
Yeah.
Why is this man laying on the ground? The crime's fresh. I don't know. I was looking up the cheapest dick pills I could at a reasonable price.
Here's another article, a little bit of a tech article. Tech YouTubers are stepping up a war against Indian scam centers, fighting phone crooks with cockroaches, stink bombs, and hacking. Former NASA engineer Mark Rober builds some awesome stuff on his YouTube channel, like Divas Squirrel Mazes, but his most popular video series is the annual Glitter Bomb, a beautifully over-engineered fake package that douses porch pirates with a shadow of glitter and fart spray. In an unexpected twist, last year's Glitter Bomb video also helped police catch and arrest someone involved in a phone scam scheme, and Robert spent the subsequent year digging into just how the phone scam operations work. In a new video, he shows off the extensive results of that effort, including hiring double agents to infiltrate several phone centers in India, and hacking their security cam footage. And of course, he got off a stink bomb, too. For Rober, this crusade started when he teamed up with another YouTuber, Jim Browning, to try and send a glitter bomb to a scammer operation. Browning's whole channel, which has 3.7 million followers, is devoted to identifying the call centers behind tech support scams and refund scams. These scams typically target the elderly and less computer-savvy folks, and usually rely on the scammers gaining remote access to your computer and tricking them into giving up personal information like their bank account login. Refund scams make people believe they've been overcompensated with some bogus refund and trick them into sending cash in the mail to the scammers. The people who receive those cash packages in the United States are essentially underlings in the scam operations. So after getting a glitter bomb in their hands last year, Rober sets his sights on the call centers themselves. With Browning's help, they were able to gain access to the CCTV of the infiltrated call centers, while another YouTube pair, Trilogy Media, traveled to Kolkata, India, to run operations on the ground. Trilogy Media's video focuses on the relationship with the sleeper agents they sent to work in call centers before planning pranks like containers of cockroaches and the classic stink bombs. Browning's, meanwhile, shows him in conversation with the scammers who don't realize he's watching them on CCTV. The wildest part of Rober's video to me is that they were even able to gain access at least one of the scam operations' financial data by watching the boss type in his computer password over a security camera. Turns out that particular operation scams people out of an average $65,000 per day, or around $18 million per year. Your phone.
Oh, I was trying to find out what is the guy's name?
The guy's name is, for those of you who are interested, because I went through it a little bit fast, his name is Mark Rober. And he is working with a YouTuber by the name of Jim Browning. So if you're interested in that, that's how you find that information. But it said, turns out particular operation scams people out of an average $65,000 per day, around $18 million a year. It's worth watching the videos both for some schadenfreude and to know what to be on guard against yourself if the scammers ever come calling. As fun as the pranks are, it's frustrating knowing that the operations are mostly ignored by police, at least in the city of Kolkata. But Robert's crew did have an impact. They actually got another call center shut down elsewhere in the country. Hopefully videos like these, which have already racked up millions of views, at least cut down on the number of people who fall for the scam calls. I mean, that is unfortunate that we even have to deal with that kind of thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I probably get more scam calls.
Oh, I get so many.
I get regular calls.
I get so many, and they're all like 200 numbers. I'm like, I don't know anybody
was
like a 200.
Is, I've had somehow my mom's number with her picture pops up on my.
Oh, no.
And answer it, and it's a telemarketer. Somehow they have it.
Oh, man.
And all the time I get phone numbers from area code, from shared area code or other nearby places.
Now, all right. Well, we've got an article here. Okay, this is short. We're not really just going to go over this because I posted this, but it's not really useful now. Just basically, Elon Musk tweeted that he was going to die in mysterious circumstances after he talked about Russia. Nothing really happened over that, so we're not going to really go too much into that.
He's got a new, I think, docuseries on FX and Hulu that I just added to my stuff, but I hadn't started watching yet.
Interesting.
Yeah, it seems like it will be interesting.
Okay, so we have Yahoo News. Wife... Oh, here we go again. I Archive is just being really stupid. They're starting to put Google Ads up to block the article titles. So what I'm going to have to start doing with some of these is announcing the title first. Okay, wife fills husband's phone with child porn and plan to get custody of kids, Oklahoma cops say. That is just fucking devious. Like, fuck that bitch. That's absolutely horrible.
She's the one that filled the phone with
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to get custody of the kid.
That's messed up.
That's awful.
Well,
an Oklahoma man was arrested after hundreds of images of child pornography were found on a phone that belonged to him. But it was all part of a scheme hatched by his wife, investigators say. The wife, 33-year-old Lacey Hucks, and her friend Angel Moore, 44, are accused of working together to frame the husband, according to arrest affidavits. Investigators believe Huck's plan centered around gaining custody of the kids. It had to do with her getting her children back, Gavin County Sheriff Jim Mullett told McClatchy News. If they could get him out of the picture, then she thought she would get her children back. On April 18th, Huck drove her accomplice Moore to the Wynnewood Police Department, gave her the incriminating phone, and asked her to make a report, according to the affidavit filed May the 2nd. Moore turned over the device, telling police she had seen Huck's husband using it to look at child porn at his Garvin County home. The phone was handed over to Garvin County deputies. On it, they found hundreds of images of various juvenile female victims, documents say. Huck's husband was placed under arrest, but investigators became suspicious when the phone he had on him, his current phone, had no similar content as the one Moore gave them. Investigators got a warrant to search Huck's phone and discovered that she and Moore knew each other and seemed to be friends. Phone records showed they had communicated about making the police report prior to April 18th, an affidavit said. Well, she knew they were going to ask for her phone eventually, right? When they found... She already knew she was fucked. Moore had said previously that she did not know Huck's. But in an interview, she told a deputy that Huck's had encouraged her, even encroached her, to deliver the false report against her husband. Moore admitted that she was never at the husband's residence and never observed him with the phone, the affidavit said. But Huck's described the home to her. Moore stated that she thought she was doing the right thing for Huck's. Through further investigation, deputies learned that the images on the phone had been downloaded months earlier. In December, all within a few days, documents said, and they all appeared to be screenshots from the same website. The husband told police he hadn't seen the supposedly incriminating phone since October and November, but didn't think too much of it because it was not his primary phone and did not have service. Moore was arrested on charges of conspiracy and knowingly reporting a false crime, documents read. Hucks was arrested on the same charges, plus an additional charge of aggravated possession of child pornography. See, if there's only one thing I can say about this, your virtual and your augmented reality waifus and your dolls, they're not going to fill your phone with fucking child porn. So that's one thing you don't have to worry about, right, guys?
Yeah.
See, that's a great idea. Alternatives, don't fucking get married.
Well, that's one thing I'm hoping, especially the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing will solve, is not just,
right,
not all women are telling the truth.
No, they're not.
And don't believe all women, but also... just because there's a man and a woman and a kid doesn't mean the woman should automatically get the kid and the man should have to pay until they're 18.
Absolutely. Remember what Nick Rakita says. 88% of cases, the woman gets the kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a really interesting article here. Basically, this happened not too long ago. This is from Australia. Mount Gambier magistrate finds it extraordinary that couple had sex during a police car pursuit. A South Australian magistrate has described the decision by a couple to have sex during a police pursuit as extraordinary. Joshua James Childs, 28, was sentenced in the Mount Gambier Magistrates Court on Monday, charged with aggravated escape, police pursuit in 2021, and an assault in 2020. Childs was sentenced to more than 9 months of home detention for two of the incidents, including a high-speed police chase during which he had sex with a passenger. While the charges were related to two separate incidents, Child was cumulatively sentenced. I have never in my time as a magistrate heard that while somebody was engaged in a police pursuit, they also engage in sexual intercourse, Magistrate Cola Cosevello said. The court heard how police attempted to stop Childs twice while he was speeding along the Princess Highway in September of 2021, with a female passenger also in the vehicle. The court heard Childs evaded police before officers spotted the car a third time and deployed road spikes, puncturing three of the vehicle's tires. Childs continued to evade police, driving while the rubber from his tires began delaminating from his vehicle. He continued driving with metal rims gouging into the road surface. A second set of road spikes were deployed, deflating the last of the vehicle's tires, yet Childs continued to evade police. During her sentencing remarks, Magistrate Casavillo said, "What happened next was extraordinary. With all tires punctured and traveling at around 50 kilometers per hour, police witnessed the vehicle's female passenger climb over and straddle Childs. Blocking the driver's view, the female began moving in an up-and-down motion, appearing to engage in sexual intercourse. Childs was sentenced to 7 months imprisonment to be served by the way of home detention. On the second charge of assault, the court also heard that in September 2020, Childs knocked a man off his bike aggressively while the victim was dropping their child off at the Melaleuca Park Primary School. Childs chased the victim into the school grounds and punched him in the head 5 times. He was sentenced to 2 months imprisonment to be served cumulatively via home detention. Isn't that nice? If you commit a crime in Australia, they don't even put you in jail. They said, well, you just stay home for 2 months. You mean it? Two months? Man, that's great, right? Like a high-speed police chase. And they sent him to home imprisonment.
I know. I
can, man, can I get some home imprisonment?
I can sleep in late for 2 months.
Hell yeah. Man, home imprisonment. That's amazing. You know what they would do in this country? You'd be lucky if you got out of jail.
It depends on what, who you are. If you're a repeat offender, they'll let you out nowadays. Yeah.
Now, this happened, and a lot of people didn't even know. Daily Wire. Comedian Andy Dick arrested on suspicion of sexual battery. Report. Comedian Andy Dick has been arrested on suspicion of felony sexual battery in California, according to a report. A spokesperson for Orange County Sheriff told Fox News Digital Law the police were summoned to the O'Neill Regional Park in Trabico Canyon around 9 a.m. local time. There, Dick, 56, was arrested when the man alleged that the former MTV star had assaulted him. TMZ reported that the incident was live-streamed on the Captain's Content RV YouTube channel. Dick and a group of live streamers had been living at the campsite in RVs for an extended time, the publication reported. On the video, deputies could be seen entering Dick's trailer and searching it following the arrest. They also reportedly asked to collect the alleged victim's pants as potential evidence. This is not the first time the Ben Stiller Show alum had a brush with the law. Over the years, Dick has made headlines several times, including for a previous arrest in June 2021 for assault with a deadly weapon. Per Fox News, this charge came after he allegedly hit his significant other with a metal chair. Wow! She must have really did something. And here he comes with a steel chair!
She must have had it coming. I don't know.
It's Dick with the steel chair!
I don't know what it's like to blow, just snap for something trivial, you know. So it's got to be like, oh, you're about to kill my niece or a family member, and I got to act now. Then I might snap, but I'm pretty easygoing kind of guy. But for me to have to hit a woman, ooh, she got to be doing something terrible.
In 2019, the comedian was charged with groping an Uber driver. In 2018, he pled not guilty to misdemeanor battery and misdemeanor sexual battery after being accused of groping a woman's buttocks. Dick was fired from an indie movie in 2017 after being accused of groping cast and crew members. He denied the claims and said, I might have kissed somebody on the cheek to say goodbye and then licked them. Ooh. Uh-oh. He also admitted to propositioning people for sex. He also had a slew of arrests for years prior, with allegations ranging from sexual assault to driving while intoxicated and hit and run. Dick admitted in years prior to struggling with drug and alcohol addiction, which has led him to enter rehab at least 20 times. During a 2014 interview with Vice, Dick discussed what led him to enter rehab at the time. He had to stop drinking or he's gonna die, he told them. I could see it very clearly. I was bleeding out of my ass. I was gonna die.
What?
I would always say that I didn't have a problem with drugs and alcohol, the actor continued, but I would drink when I was happy, when I was sad, when I was anxious. Without drugs or alcohol, I was depressed, frustrated, and angry.
Did you say bleeding out of his ass?
Yes. I've had multiple guns pulled on me, Dick told the publication. Cocked and ready to shoot, but I've laughed my way out of it and gotten them to laugh. I've been punched in the face a number of times. On two separate occasions, the punch was so hard and so painful out of the blue that I shit my pants. Twice. That means you're getting punched hard. I've fallen over and landed on my head. I can't even count how many times I've pissed myself. I've shit the bed. I shouldn't even really be here. I should be dead. Wow. The guy had a hell of a fucking life, right? And of course, crypto down. I'm just looking at my... it's down. Ethereum's down. Cardano. They're talking about all the stuff I bought. Look how far it's going down. That's fine. I only treated it like a casino, and I didn't put much money in it. I talked about it with TFM, and I said, I'm glad I, you know, only put like 100 in, and not like, you know, people were putting thousands and thousands of dollars into that. Yeah, and now they're hurting. And somebody's like, oh no, I'm going to be homeless. Well, you gambled, and you lost. That's how it works, right?
Oh, yeah.
Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and when to run. Some people don't know when to run. Some people don't know when to walk away. And guess what happens? You lose everything.
Better hide your money.
Yeah.
When you're sitting at the table.
Yeah. Don't.
When the dealing's done.
You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Yeah,
and there's a very good lesson there. People are counting their money already. They're at the table. They're, I'm going to be a millionaire. Look at this. And then they're like, oh my God, it's all gone.
See, with something like that,
they didn't pull out.
Once it went into millions, I would have sold
immediately. Yeah, they didn't pull out. Like Bitcoin, when that was low, if I'd have bought a lot of Bitcoin, I'd be a billionaire right now. I mean, same thing with, because we remember when it was super ultra cheap and nobody cared about it.
Yeah.
Because that was the only one you could buy at the time. I didn't know much about it. But now if you had Bitcoin, oh, yeah, you were doing good. If you bought 20 Bitcoin, you're probably doing really good right now. They've cashed it now. I mean, obviously, when it got to millions, they're like, yeah, I want my money. So.
That would be the deal.
Ethereum, when Ethereum was not that expensive, Ethereum had a jump, Doge had a jump. A lot of people became tech millionaires after this Bitcoin millionaires, cryptocurrency millionaires. They sure did. But they knew when to leave. They said, okay, that's enough money. I think I've made enough money.
Greedy.
Right. And people that are greedy, they lose everything. That's a lesson.
If it's good now, what about in a couple of years? Well, that's just like the stock market. It goes up and it goes down.
And Winter says, I just purchased my first bit of crypto in the past 2 months. It is what it is. Absolutely. So I never put too much money into it.
Of course, I don't know exactly what gives crypto its value.
It's too large of a conversation for me to get into here. But it's its usage. It's how useful it is. Yeah. It's the function that it has. Yeah. The more useful it is, the more value it has. That's what Elon was trying to do with Doge. Because when Twitter goes back, he wants to make it so people get Doge and really, you know, build that back up. But I don't know if it's going to work. There's not much to say here. Border Detention Center looks stocked with baby formula despite shortage. Basically, the American families deal with shortage of baby formula. Lawmakers release images of dozens of boxes of the coveted product lining the shelves at an illegal migrant processing facility near the U.S.-Mexico border. Representative Kat Kamek, Republican Florida, shared the images of pallets of infant formula at the Ursula Migrant Processing Center in McAllen, Texas, on her Twitter and Facebook pages Wednesday. First photo is from this morning at the Ursula Processing Center in the U.S. border, shelves and pallets packed with baby formula, she wrote in a tweet accompanying side-by-side photographs of full and bare shelves. That's the wrong one. Okay. Alright, the first photo is from this morning at the Okay, we talked about that. The second is from a shelf right here at home. Formula is scarce. This is what America last looks like.
Have you seen any at our store?
Yes.
Is it scarce there?
Only one brand.
Oh.
Another we have a bunch of, but nobody wants it.
Oh, I imagine it's the one everybody's wanting is made for kids that have, like, dairy allergies.
Infamil is what everybody wants.
Yeah.
Kamek's office shared several additional images, supposedly from the same location with the Post on Thursday. Post was unable to independently verify the location of the images or obtain additional information about the history and frequency of shipments or the distribution of the formula. The images feature dozens of boxes of various baby formula brands, including Nido and Advantage. And Nido is the Mexican one. I think it's the Mexican one. It's weird that Mexican babies have their own freaking formula.
It's got a touch of cinnamon and churro flavored.
I guess. Okay, here is an interesting and sickening article. Don't you love it when they're both the same? Okay, why it's not grooming. What research says about gender and sexuality in schools. Oh, if your time is short. Grooming is a term strongly associated with child sexual abuse. It refers to a process or set of behaviors adults use to make it easier to introduce and complete sexual interactions with a child. Talking about gender identity and sexual orientation in the classroom would not be grooming, because it is done without intent to sexually abuse a child. Experts in psychology and child development said they are not aware of any evidence showing that increased exposure to LGBTQ people or topics make children more likely to join the community. Instead, they said it's likely an environment of increased acceptance allows people to more openly consider whether they might be part of the LGBTQ community. I don't absolutely... I mean, they're trying to say that this one woman, Madison Zizopek, I don't know. But this one woman is trying to say that the Don't Say Gay law is wrong and all that.
Well,
but no, okay. I understand you have research on that. But you don't, look, this is what I say, and I said it a lot. The more you talk to children about sex,
the more confused.
And more, not only confused that they get, because we're talking about children, like children would think, oh, I'm a tree, and stuff like that. Children are very imaginative.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about imaginative play. So you don't use imaginative play to confuse them into, well, maybe I'm this. And
that's,
yeah,
the plan, because it is such a small community.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, it does feel like, I do think it's a body dysmorphic disorder.
Well, it's something that they're being taught now. So it's something like, oh, well, maybe I'm this. Like, your child would have never cared if it had known. It's one of those things, well, mommy, they were talking about this. Daddy, they were talking about this.
They put the thought in their head.
Yeah, they put the thought in their head.
They say,
and the parents didn't.
If you don't like it, mm-hmm. then you're evil.
Yeah, and the parents didn't consent to that. The parents didn't say, hey, we can consent to you teaching our child about this. Hell no. Parents should fucking sue the schools on that shit. They can't because of Title IX and all that bullshit now that they're trying to pull. So, oh no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Fuck you. Let's see here. WHO pandemic treaty. What it is, why it matters, and how to stop it. Ooh. Okay. I don't know anything about this, but we're going to learn. Okay. WHO pandemic treaty. What it is, why it matters, and how to stop it. The World Health Organization has started drafting a global pandemic treaty on pandemic preparedness that would grant it absolute power over global biosecurity. Such as the power to implement digital identities and vaccine passports, mandatory vaccinations, travel restrictions, standardized medical care, and more. The WHO is not qualified to make global, and we're not talking about the ban, global health decisions. As just one example, the WHO didn't publicly admit that the SARS-CoV vaccine was airborne until the end of December 2021, yet scientists knew the virus was airborne within weeks of the pandemic being declared. The WHO also ignored early advice about airborne transmission. More importantly, a one-size-fits-all approach to pandemic response simply does not work because pandemic threats are not identical in all parts of the world. Even people in the same region do not have identical risks and may not need or benefit from identical treatment. The WHO will accept two more days of public comment on the treaty, June 16th and 17th, so prepare your statements now. The World Health Assembly will also vote on amendments to international health regulations May 22nd to 28th, which also may strip away more individual rights and liberties. Ouch. There's actually a really big article on that, so definitely check out The Defender, which is a site that is about children's health defense news and views. So check that one out and read about that. It sounds like a really good website. So maybe you should try getting some news there. Okay, so we've got another one. We're in May 12th now, so we're catching up. And oh, they won't let me do that. Okay. Okay, the Daily Mail. Fury as Colorado teacher invites schoolgirl 12 to after school arts club. That was actually a meeting of trans and queer identity. Or asked who they were attracted to and told to lie to their parents. The children were asked who they were attracted to and told a lie to the parents. That is some bullshit. Erin Lee, whose daughter attended Wellington Middle School up until last week, said her daughter was told she may be transgender and her family was not safe. Les said that her daughter, 12, was invited to the group by art teacher Jenna Reap, who told her it was an art group. That sounds like trying to put an
That's
agenda. The lesson was led LGBTQ activist Kimberly Chambers. Emails obtained by the Parents Defending Education Advocacy Group show. Speaker Kimberly told kids that if they were not fully comfortable in their body, that they may be trans and that members of their family were not safe to talk to. Students in the group did a gender-bred person activity, which explicitly asked her daughter and other students in the room who they are sexually attracted to. Wow, that is crazy. Lee also alleged that the youngsters were even asked to keep details of the meeting a secret and warned their parents were not safe. Yeah, Lee said her daughter sent a text message last Wednesday asking to go to an after-school art club, saying the teacher had invited her. She and her husband, Jonathan, then gave their permission. But upon picking the schoolgirl from the supposed art club, the pair quickly realized something was wrong. She told Fox News, when we picked her up from the school program after school, we could see on her face that something was incredibly wrong. It wasn't art club. It was GSA, or Gender and Sexuality Alliance, is what they're calling it now, the irate mother explained. That's not art. They told the kids that if they're not fully comfortable in their body, then they are transgender. You don't fucking tell kids
that's a cunt.
A
suggestion. That sounds more like a cult.
Yeah, that's bad. That is cult mentality.
I mean, that's how they get people to drink the Kool-Aid.
The lesson was led by LGBTQ activist. Yeah, we talked about that. The head of LGBTQ advocacy group Splash Youth of Northern Colorado spoke as a school board approved guest. She explained to my daughter that she is not 100% comfortable in her female body, that she's transgender. Revealing the outside speaker then told the middle-aged school children that they're not safe around their parents. She told the kids that parents aren't safe, and that it's okay to lie to them about this where they are in order to attend this meeting, said the mom, who has since enrolled her daughter in a private Christian school but still has a son in a public school, said. Lee said the speaker delivered the lesson to the group on May 4th of last year, then gave the students their personal contact information and encouraged them to contact her on social media platforms such as Discord and WhatsApp. She doubled down that parents aren't safe and that heterosexuality and monogamy are not normal. Man.
Well, that's been an argument for a long time. But
after confronting school staffers and guest speaker Chambers about the lesson, the Paul Jura School District confirmed the existence of the club and asserted that conversations in its GSA groups may be confidential given the sensitive nature of the meeting's discussions. At PSD, we promise to create and uphold equitable, inclusive, and rigorous educational opportunities, outcomes, and experiences for all students, the district said in a statement to DailyMail.com. There they go with that equity bullshit. As a district, we are committed to making our schools safe spaces in which all students can learn. Genders and Sexualities Alliances, or GSAs, were established as safe spaces for members of the LGBTQ, whatever, community, allies, and any individual to come together with the goals of ensuring inclusivity, safety, and support. Discussions in GSAs may be confidential given that they can sometimes be sensitive in nature. A student may be out with specific friends without the community at large, it went on, adding that the GSA was school-sponsored and approved by the district. District declined to comment on the allegations made by Lee to protect the privacy of the student and the family. District brass further asserted that they had addressed the issue with Lee on multiple occasions over the past year and that her daughter is no longer enrolled in the district. Lee said the school also confirmed the meeting is always held in secret. Email correspondence obtained by Parents Defending Education between Chambers and art teacher shows the LGBTQ advocate expressing concerns over the mother's complaints concerning the content being presented at the club. The messages sent on May 6th and 7th following Lee's complaints to the school and district show Chambers asking school staff to remind the mom that the room is a safe space and she should not share the names of her friends in attendance. She also told a seemingly worried Reap that in emails and phone conversations she had with Lee should be recorded and thought of as evidence. Hello, this is private, and I would be responding with a BCC for all of you, but it's important for you to know the response messaging that I sent out, Chamber wrote in one email sent to Reap and Katie Delahunt, a guidance counselor at Wellington Middle. You're... Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can forward my response to admin at Wellington Middle School. They probably will receive similar messages from this parent. Tread lightly, because this parent has huge potential to coming in to understanding or rejecting their child. I'll respond with what we know how to work so far, but it's always a gamble, and kids' access comes into view, Chambers went on. If you know what parent this is, can you politely remind them that their student... can you remind their student that this room is a safe space and she should not share the names of her friends in attendance? She then wrote, I'll reply to the email with you all BC in the next hour or so. Any conversation with his parents should have an impression in her minds as evidence. Verbiage is everything. Thanks. The next morning, Reap responded, Hey, Kimberly, sorry, I'm just responding. This has been a lot to process. My family's reached out to the school a couple times this week. We're trying to get a good place with them. I really appreciate you taking the time to write thoughtful response. Thank you so much for your support and time. I'd love to get some advice sometime this summer on how I can best support students if something like this happens again. Chambers responded shortly thereafter, assuming the art teacher not worry over Lee's complaints to the school and district, citing that they had a strong ally in Kristen Draper, a board member for the Padre School District, who also had volunteers with Splash. Chambers also called the Equal Access Act a guidance that says federally funded schools cannot deny students the right to conduct meetings over religious, political, or philosophical content as a reason that parents don't have to approve which clubs and activities their children participate in. As needed, Chambers wrote, you have a strong ally in our Board of Education who can help your admin with responses and base them on the Equal Access Act, where parents don't have to approve which clubs and activities their children participate in, which will probably be the next attempt by this parent. Oh my god. This is the school literally fucking fighting. They're literally fighting against this damn child. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've even got another story here about elementary school teachers brag about ignoring parents' requests to refer kids by their given names and pronouns in virtual panel. Okay, this is getting too much. But to end all this, there was no accusation of physical touch or exposure of body parts. However, she told New American Magazine that her daughter is now attending a private Christian school and is doing much better. I guess you either send them there or you homeschool them. It's getting to that point. That is fucking bullshit. Dude, when I go down to my buddy's house on the 4th of July, that's the first thing I'm saying. Dude, you got to get these kids out of there. You don't even realize it. Like, he doesn't realize. No, it doesn't matter. They're still trying to do this shit, he tells me. So they're coming, the girl's coming home and saying things. Like, they were talking about sexual touch. And, well, I mean, it was a good thing because we found out that she was absolutely being touched by an asshole we won't talk about. But they were talking about that in the school at a very young age. The girl's she's only like 8. 7 or 8 years old? I mean, damn. Let these kids be kids. We can't do that anymore, I guess. At any rate, I guess it's going to be the last article we have. I thank you guys for joining us. We've got way more articles, but not enough time to cover them all. So we'll be getting back with the next one. And, where we'll be talking about... some Switch Kingdom Hearts Cloud versions and something about the diaper. So we'll talk about that next time. But we've got so many articles left to do and just... Wow. I'm getting a lot. I thank you guys for all the articles and we will try our best to catch up with all of them. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. Oh, yeah. We appreciate you for joining us here and we are out.
Later.
Enjoy the decline and what's on the menu?